happy Saturday. This is Chasing the Yield, week ending June 4th, 2021. I think, what do we got here? Episode number 7. It's a short week, and as I expected, there wasn't much news really over the week. Not much happens during these short holiday weeks. Everybody's too busy having a good time. Plus, it's the beginning, unofficial beginning of summer with Memorial Day. So I think the biggest news came maybe on Friday? Was it Friday? Yeah, June 4th, when the jobs numbers came out and employers in the United States only added 559,000 jobs, where I guess, what were they expecting? They were expecting, you'd think I would have this ready, but I don't. Where the heck did I put it? Okay, no, that's not it either. I had it. Oh, what an auspicious start to this latest episode. Oh, great. I would apologize if somebody's listening. But anyway, so they were expecting more than what we had. And I guess the concern is that people are not rushing back to take their jobs. On the one hand, you have, I guess, people who are watching the Fed and interest rates. They're happy, I guess, that not that many people are going back to work because the Fed then will keep interest rates low. But then again, is the economy truly picking up if people aren't going back to work? You know, we're still stuck in the cycle that's going to be here for a little while when a government, well, a world actually shuts down economic activity for everybody. It's going to take a while to filter through all of that. So hopefully, as states open up, more and more opening up every month, you know, that people go back to work, you know, hopefully wages won't rise too high and cause too much inflation too fast, because we don't really want to be there. I grew up in the late 70s and bought my first house in the latter part of the 1980s. And let me tell you, an interest rate when you're buying a house, interest rate of 11-12% was not fun. You know, now you've got 3% or below. So, you know, I don't think too many people have lived through that, the younger people, so they don't really know. Anyway, in news pertaining to the items in my portfolio, Johnson & Johnson again was in the news. The Supreme Court refused to hear their appeal for the $2.1 billion civil judgment against them for their Johnson & Johnson baby powder. You know, I guess it's going to take them a little while to absorb that civil judgment. You know, I did not invest in Johnson & Johnson until after this case, so I didn't really pay much attention to it at all. But, you know, I do know that my whole life I've used Johnson's baby powder. I used it for my children. You know, I used it when I was growing up. My mother used it. You know, I don't know, because I didn't follow it, I don't know if those things are true, but I do know that, you know, the Supreme Court not hearing their case was not good for their stock. But at least from what I understand, they do have enough of a cash cushion where this $2.1 billion settlement should not hurt them too much. Let's see. They also said that they were in talks for the past year, or since last year rather, in talks with Taiwan about providing their vaccine. So, you know, if they can provide Taiwan with the vaccine, that'd be good for J&J and anybody who holds that stock. There is a new ETF that bets on interest rate rise. So, you know, inflation continues to be on the mind of investors, and they're shifting their strategies to mitigate any drastic change. So there's a distrust of Fed policy with regard to interest rates. And according to the Wall Street Journal, an ETF run by Harley Bassman, a former Merrill Lynch trader who developed a widely followed measure of bond market volatility known as the MOVE Index, will put half its cash and intermediate treasuries and half in 7-year options referencing a 20-year interest rate of 4.25%. Those options should appreciate as long as interest rates rise. So if they don't, I don't know what happens to that ETF. I just thought it was interesting that somebody's setting up an ETF to hedge against rising, or I guess to use rising interest rates as a hedge, rather. That's the way I should put it, I suppose. Okay, moving on. Oil prices, they jump over $70 a barrel this past week. I don't know if it's still $70 a barrel. I didn't look on Friday. But Brent crude, the international energy benchmark, rose 1.3% to $70.20 a barrel. It's on track for its highest close since May 2019. West Texas intermediate futures gained 2.2% to $67.78 a barrel. The U.S. gauge crossed its highest level since October 2018, earlier on Tuesday, according to the Wall Street Journal. Moving on to 3M. 3M CEO Mike Roman told an investment conference that rising commodity prices and parts shortages created by pent-up demand from the pandemic translate into higher costs for 3M, and those increased expenses in turn will reduce earnings by 30 cents to 50 cents in 2021. Wall Street projects 3M will earn a little less than $10 a share this year, so the impact is about 4%. Quote, there's what's going to happen to raw materials, logistics, labor cost inflation, unquote, he said. Roman took on a subject, inflation, that is worrying investors. Inflation these days feels like the monster under a child's bed. Investors haven't seen it. They don't know if it's friend or foe, but they're scared of it nonetheless. I think the biggest key there is the labor cost inflation. With the stimulus and the extra unemployment money that goes to the states, that's keeping people on the sidelines. I know there's an article in the Wall Street Journal. I didn't blog it. Not the Wall Street Journal. I'm sorry. The Chicago Tribune. And I did not blog it. But in that story, they talked about some restaurant workers that were purposely staying out. And, you know, they got laid off when, you know, the government shut all the restaurants down. And their current level of unemployment is roughly what they were making before while they were working. So, you know, they said specifically in that story that they are not coming back until either their enhanced unemployment runs out or wages rise above what they're able to stay home with. And my guess is that's when we're going to see that, you know, a bigger push towards the $15 national minimum wage. And if that hits, you can be sure inflation is going to be a problem, because labor cost is perhaps the biggest cost in service industry. You know, to providing the service, the cost of providing the service, food or deliveries or whatever the service is, the service itself doesn't cost hardly anything. It's the labor that produces the service that costs everything. So if the cost of labor goes up, especially for unskilled positions, that's going to make all prices rise for everything. Let's see, Microsoft. Microsoft, they had some news. Morgan Stanley and Microsoft on Wednesday announced a strategic cloud partnership aimed at accelerating the firm's digital transformation and shaping the future of innovation in the financial services industry. The companies will strike a unique collaboration to unlock the opportunities that Microsoft Cloud provides, with a specific view towards the challenges of financial services and enabling Morgan Stanley to accelerate the modernization of its IT environment to enhance client, employee, and developer experiences. That's from a press release from Microsoft, if you couldn't tell. So, in other words, Morgan Stanley is using Microsoft Cloud. There was another announcement by Microsoft that on June 24, they're going to have an event where they're going to unveil the latest version of the Windows operating system. The news comes after Microsoft said last month that Windows 10X for dual-screen devices would no longer ship. They've put that on the shelf, on the back burner, so they say. The new Windows is expected to incorporate significant changes in the user interface called Valley of the Sun, but I've heard it called Sun Valley, so I don't know which one's true, which one's not. That's from UPI, UnitedPressInternational.com. I listened to the podcast Windows Weekly on the Twit Network, and they talked extensively about what this could possibly look like. So you might want to go check that out if you want to hear more about it. It was on the last episode, I think, that was released last Wednesday. So it'll be interesting to see what the new OS will be like. I've never liked Windows 10. Windows 7 was kind of, to me, the sweet spot for Windows. Windows 10 just is this crazy mishmash of trying to be too user-friendly and, you know, hides too much of the old Windows that you use to fine-tune it. So, I've been a Windows user, I think, since Windows 3.1. You know, because I never liked Apple and the Mac OS. So I'd like to see some improvement, but I don't know. It depends on what they're going to do. If they're going to dumb it down even more, you know, I'm going to be slow to upgrade. Because right now, as Windows 10 works now, especially for some of the settings, when you need to really fine-tune something, I can never find anything. You know, it's a good thing that they did improve the search function in settings, so you can search for, you know, some of the configurations that you're looking for and find it easier. But before, when it was all logical in menu systems and the control panel, you know, I can still pull up the control panel, but even that is still not the way it used to be. It's all kind of dumbed down. But who knows? A new Windows operating system could be new revenues for Microsoft. You know, because they'll get a little piece of, unless they're going to go with a subscription service where, you know, Windows as a service, which I know they've been pushing for quite some time. Already Office, I think, is their biggest on the consumer side of software. The subscription service for Office. I think I pay like $100 a year now, which is kind of steep for, you know, when I was working a regular job, you know, and I needed Excel and I needed Word on a daily basis, you know, $100 a year wasn't that much. But now that, you know, I don't have a regular gig, you know, I'm doing these things, my own personal projects. Is Microsoft Office still worth the price of admission? I don't know. We'll see what they come up with on June 24th. Moving along to my portfolio. That's it for the news. All the portfolios were up this week. We're starting a new month. So my low-yield portfolio was up 1.16%, also the same for the month since this is the first week of the month. That's all we have to go with. The medium-yield portfolio is up 1.09%. My high-yield portfolio is up 1.21%. So, we're making some changes to the portfolio. On my high-yield portfolio, I had a 1/10 of my position of my total portfolio held Nordic American tankers. They cut their annual dividend by 30%, so it reduced my yield in that portfolio by enough of a percentage where I felt I had to look for an alternative. So it was a good thing that the stock price appreciated enough to where I will still get the over, I forgot what their yield was before they reduced, but, you know, in that particular portfolio, every position that I have, dividend yield is at or near 10%. So that one dropped to, it was below 9%, it was 8 point something from over 10%. So that's why I felt that I need something, because I'm that's a big portion of my income from that high yield portfolio. So the stock price itself had appreciated enough. Let's see, what did it end up at? Of course, that is now off my spreadsheet, so I don't have that final number. But I know it was equal to what I would have received from that particular stock in dividends for a year. So I felt comfortable, letting that one go. And I'm going to move it from that one into a different stock called Cross America Partners. Cross America Partners was founded in 2012. They distribute gasoline, they lease out retail outlets for gas stations, and they also operate convenience stores. In 2018, they did cut their dividend to 16%, but at that time, they improved their cash flow and balance sheet to where their dividend now looks much safer. Of course, fluctuation in the price of oil, as well as the push towards all-electric vehicles, will have an impact on the company both in the short and long term and must be watched closely. Their current dividend yield is 10.74%. At least that's what it was at the time when I wrote the blog post. It's more in line where I need to be with my high-yield portfolio. And once the cash from the sale of Nordic American? I can never remember any of these stupid names. Nordic American Tankers. Once that clears my account next week, I'll be able to complete the purchase of Cross America Partners. In dividend news, my fund, what the heck fund is this? SPHIX. This is a Fidelity fund. That's my Fidelity High Income Fund. That one, they announced that their next dividend of 0.0312 cents per share that brings their fund's total payout over the last 12 months down 0.44%. Sorry, I'm reviewing my own website and in that I lost my place. So from time to time, I just stutter because I'm trying to read my own site to figure out where I'm at. So that one, total payout over the last 12 months are down 0.44%. Clorox, they announced their next dividend of 1.16 cents per share, a 4.5% increase over their previous payout of $1.11 per share. And Verizon announced its next dividend of 0.6275 cents per share. And that is in line with their previous payout. So now that we're moving into the summer months, the news cycle usually slows down a little bit. But who knows? We're still dealing with post-COVID stuff, so anything can happen. Hopefully, we don't get too many crazy gyrations in the stock market. Hopefully inflation is kept in check. And tomorrow I go blueberry picking. So I'm going to forget about it's Sunday. I don't have to worry about the markets. I don't have to watch my portfolio. I moved to Georgia last year. So this will be my first time in Chicago. There's no blueberry picking in the Chicago area. You have to go drive all the way to Michigan. And that I never did, because I was on the north side of the city, and you have to drive across the city in order to get over to Michigan just to go pick blueberries. So here I live northeast of Atlanta, and the nearest blueberry farms that are ready to pick are just about an hour away from me. So they're very easy to get to. I don't have to drive through Atlanta to get there. So I'm going to try my hand at some blueberry and blackberry picking. Let's see. So tomorrow will be a good day. So here is the disclaimer. ChasingTheYield.com and Kevin Bay are not registered investment advisors, brokers, or dealers. Information provided by ChasingTheYield.com and the Chasing the Yield podcast is provided for information and entertainment purposes only. All opinions provided are based upon sources believed to be accurate and are provided in good faith, but no warranty, representation, or guarantee, express or implied, is made as to the accuracy of the information contained herein. Nothing on ChasingTheYield.com or the Chasing the Yield podcast constitutes a representation or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. Please contact an investment professional if you have any questions regarding an investment. Also, as a reminder, this is a Podcasting 2.0 compatible podcast. That means if you're listening to this on a Podcasting 2.0 compatible app, you'll have access to transcripts, chapters, and chapter images that accompany each episode. So please go to newpodcastapps.com to download and support these independent apps, and go to podcastindex.org to support Podcasting 2.0. That's all we've got for this week. So I will talk to you next week. Have a good rest of your weekend. Still need to work a lot on transitions from one segment to the next. Plus, I wish I could clear my throat before these things. Anyway, I already said goodbye, didn't I? Have a pleasant Saturday night, pleasant Sunday. Talk to you next week.